John Gordon, and it's a pleasure for me today to have as a guest Matthew Norton. His expertise is workplace leadership and cultural coach, bringing human understanding to solve leadership and team challenges for the thriving business. Welcome, Matthew, to this podcast, and I look forward to visiting with you and you explaining and sharing with us your expertise as you bring it to the dental field. Welcome.
Thank you, John. Appreciate the opportunity to share.
Yeah. What I'd like for you to do, Matthew, before we begin getting into the meat of things is I'd like for you to share with our audience what you would like them to know about you as it is today and the material that we're going to share with them.
Well, I think if we want to get to the heart of the matter, I think the name of my company is People on Purpose. Both of those elements were a challenge to locate in my years growing up. I pretty much had arrived at clarity of where I was going, clear destination, had great relationships, had recently been married. At that point, I ended up, after just adopting my wife's twin daughters, twin five-year-old daughters, my wife had a heart attack and died at the age of 34. And so suddenly I was left with twin five-year-olds, and the reason I had them was gone. I mention that because there was a day in the grieving process when I came to that place of surrender, specifically recall the day. Basically calling out to God and saying that if I could have a life that felt like it was worth living again, that I would dedicate the rest of my life to helping other people find their purpose and be set free of whatever blockages that were getting in the way of that so that they could have their best life. And so was back in 1987, and I've dedicated the rest of my life since then to being able to accomplish that. So that's my heart that I bring to this conversation.
That's quite a story. That's quite a heart to bring to the conversation. I really appreciate you sharing that with us. That would create an opportunity for you to really define your clarity moving forward. And you say that there were a number of things in there that was very impactful. I'm processing as I'm trying to speak here. It was so profound.
Yeah, you didn't know I was going to say that.
So. I did not know you were going to say that. No. And I'm glad that you did. That was just really awesome. That's going to hit a lot of the audience to where they're going to pause kind of like I am emotionally with this. But you hit a place of surrender. I think that's interesting because I think all of us at some point in our life, Matthew, have hit that point of surrender to where we do reach out to our supreme being, whoever that is, and ask that question. Help me moving forward. If there's a purpose out there for me, help me find it so that I can live my life of meaning. What was it that you found, Matthew, that you said your purpose was to help others find their purpose? Describe that a little bit more. Go into more depth with that, because I think that's an important statement.
Well, I mean, it changed my career as a doctor at that point in that instead of seeing people with a condition or a pain that they wanted to be relieved from, I saw a human being in front of me that did have a purpose, that was going somewhere, that had a vision, that had dreams. And I saw them as having something that was interfering, that was blocking their ability to fully move forward or move forward with ease and clarity. That informed and changed my career as a doctor, but it also has informed what I'm wanting to help people with as a coach. What does that mean for a leader to be able to lead from a place of greater purposeful clarity? And how does that change the way they see the team and the people that they're serving in their practice?
People plus purpose. I really like that, by the way. In that statement, define for the audience what purpose means, because we hear that a lot from people, particularly in the coaching industry and the consulting industry, you know, find your purpose. What does that mean to you, Matthew, as you've incorporated that and made that one of the main themes of your business?
It's a good question. And I believe we're all here with something to contribute. And we only have a certain amount of time. And per the loss of that, my first wife, realized even with greater certainty that we're here for a certain amount of time and we don't know when that ends. So I think part of it is just living with intent. I think we could say that it involves vision and a dream. I believe it also means adding value. I think purpose has so much to do with what we're here to do in serving others. But I think being purposeful means being intentional, living with intent, and maybe continuing to revisit whether we're on target with that intent or if we've gotten distracted in the dailiness of things and maybe lost sight of where we're going or why that matters to us.
After the experience with your wife, eventually we'll get to your business, but I'm still curious about this story.
They're connected, so it's totally fine.
This is something. After your wife passed away, you surrendered, but I have a feeling just with the little time that I've gotten to know you and speak with you, that it wasn't a surrender as in giving up. It was a surrender as in help me realign my life. My life as I have known it for up to this point is shattered, and you felt really lost and hopeless, but you weren't giving up. You were just needing to realign your efforts, your energy, your vision, your dream. How long did that take you, Matthew, to regroup with that?
I'm fairly intense, and so I tend to do things with intensity, including moving through those stages of grieving. For some people, it might take quite a bit longer than it did for me. So there are those states that moving from denial that such a thing even happened to moving into bargaining as though somehow I can change things or that I was going to get a different result somehow. And none of this is really rational. It's all very emotion driven. Thirdly, being angry, having to deal with anger because this happened and there was nothing I could do to get that to change. To have the life felt like I would have preferred to have. And so the surrender was really a release, I guess, is a good word for that. You're right. It's not giving up. It's a letting go. It was a letting go of demanding that I even understand that there be an answer for why this occurred. A letting go of where I thought I was controlling my life going. And instead, being open to receive again a new direction and wanting it to be positively informed even by what I had gone through. I think that was an important piece. I really did want this to be a part of where I went moving forward. As part of my healing was to see what could I do to help heal others.
There's a purpose for me in going this direction with you here, and I'll clarify that in just a moment. How long was it, Matthew, down the road from your wife's death? And, you know, you're going through the grieving process, and I'm familiar with that. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross wrote that book. I think it was The Grieving Process. Maybe it was a title. I don't remember. But I studied that book in college. Going through that, when did your purpose start to clarify and what did it look like? What did it feel like?
I guess I didn't answer your question previously that it was probably about a month, I would say, in working through those stages. Doesn't mean that there wasn't some kind of fluidity to a little bit back and forth moving beyond that time frame. But for the most part, I had arrived at that release place at that point. I guess the initial feeling was a sense of freedom, a sense of liberation, that I wasn't holding tightly in a resistance, I guess, to what had happened. And there was an openness, a receptivity to next. And it wasn't long before positive next elements and even the person who would become my wife now for almost 36 years appeared without me looking. I think being able to get to that place of release and receptivity to moving forward allowed me to attract again new possibilities. So it wasn't long. It really wasn't long. I think it's getting to that place that prepares you. I know people who have endured significant loss and got stuck there, unable to move forward, unable to have great relationships again, unable to really find that place that's of deeper value within themselves. They got stuck at that place of pain. And years and years and decades passed, and they never could find their way again. And I definitely did not want that to be me.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty courageous on your part to understand what you needed emotionally to move on with your life and commit to that. So a lot of people they'll flounder a lot. They'll be treading water and waiting for someone to throw them the life raft. You know, life isn't like that most of the time, Matthew. I mean, sometimes it does happen like that. And the reason I'm exploring this a little bit more in depth with you again, I didn't expect to go in this direction, but it was so impactful there. What you shared is that most of the audience out there, Matthew, will have experienced something similar, maybe not a death, but maybe it's been the death of a dream. Maybe it's been the death of the practice. Maybe it's been the devastation just a relationship in general. We all wonder what's next and how do I start navigating in life? And you sharing your life and how you navigated this gives people hope. And I know in dentistry, in my practice, I had a cosmetic dental practice and a lifestyle dental practice. A lot of the patients that came to me were just looking for hope because they were where they were in their life. And in their minds, they had visioned this great life. And there was a big distance between the two, and they did not know how to navigate it. And we all at some point need some outside source to come in and tickle our energy, rejuvenate us a little bit, share with the possibilities, and then go for it. That's why I was going after that a little bit with you. And I really like your answers with that. We all are individual, and we take our own time frames. We take different pathways to getting to where we're going. But at the end result, we're all wanting a little more richness. We're wanting peace. We want those relationships. Good for you that you found another life partner and you've been together for so long. I'm happy for you. I'm really happy for you.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, when you mention hope, it makes me think of a mentor of mine a long time ago. He gave me the phrase hope merchant, and he talked that was a lot of how what he saw me offering to patients, new patients at that time. But then I see that that's really continued because I agree with you that hope is a very important element for us to keep moving forward into uncertainty.
It is.
Life is uncertain.
It is.
And so, yeah.
And I think probably with your coaching business here, Matthew, that one of the pillars is hope, being able to buttress people up and say, okay, there is this wonderful thing out there waiting for you. Just keep working at it and striving for it. Taking this into your business, people plus purpose. Talk to us about that business.
I see those as being two key foundational elements. And so in most any business, and certainly in a dental practice, there is a central leader, a visionary leader, especially in the earlier phases of a practice. I mean, eventually there may be many locations. It may move up into a small emerging DSO or something like that. So that may change to where it's not necessarily the visionary leader that's having the primary influence on everyone day to day. But it begins, I believe, with a visionary leader. And I think that the peak success of that practice begins with that visionary leader. So who are you as a visionary leader? How is that vision that you have maybe informed by the life that you've lived up to that point? What is your vision? Where do you want to take this? Where are you taking people? What does this look like when you arrive at whatever this destination is that you believe? And then who are the people that best fit around you? Who are those people that are becoming your team? It makes me think sometimes like in football. If you're going to build a winning team in football, it will often begin with looking at a key role like the quarterback. And depending on who the quarterback is, what their strengths are, what their style dynamics are, has a lot to do with who you put around that quarterback so that that quarterback has the best chance to win, but also so that as a result, the team has a chance to win. You can have great superstars in various positions, but if they don't come together as a team, then there won't be the victory that could be achieved. So I think that begins with who is that visionary leader? What strengths do they have? Where do they need to develop? And that's the beginning of who they're going to be building around them from a strengths perspective.
Yeah. With your coaching business, Matthew, the visionary leader, I fully appreciate that. I get that. I'm with you. I think a strong, directive, visionary, purpose leader is critically important. Do you see with the people that you work with what that looks like for them? Do you have some people come to you that they have absolutely no clue about a vision? They're too instant gratification oriented, and they don't have that long purpose vision. They don't have the leadership skills. Share with me what you're experiencing with the people that you work with.
It's many different possibilities. There are people who will tell me that they are working hard and that they believe if they just keep working hard enough, long enough, that they will get where they want to go. That can be the first conversation sometimes, is that they'll get somewhere, but it may not be exactly where they want to go. Just like I heard I read in a marketing book years ago, I don't remember what it even was, where they talked about working to climb this ladder to get to the top. And then the problem was, and you may have heard this, that they get to the top and then realize the ladder was leaning against the wrong wall. They got somewhere, but it wasn't necessarily the fulfillment that they were looking for. People have varying degrees of clarity. For some people, it's a bit vague. Some people say, well, I'm just doing this practice and just trying to grow it. And I'm just seeing if I can pay off my debts and, you know, start to actually accumulate some wealth. And so depending on the phase of the career, some of those things change. But I think sometimes people never really had a very compelling vision to begin, other than some of those utilitarian kind of drives. And for other people, they had something more, but they lost it in the burdens and demands and dailiness of the process over time. And they need to be relocate that, I think. And the team needs them to relocate that.
Do you find that a lengthy process with most people? I'm going to say people, not just doctors, because you help work with teams also. And, you know, having people, team members that are purposeful is so important. I had a few wonderful staff people that came in and they had purpose for their life. It wasn't focused around me first. It was just awesome to have them around. Do you find it difficult to reorient, redirect some of those people?
Yeah, I mean, some people are receptive and ready. And for some people, they're not even quite ready. That's not where they either, where they want to begin. And it's not necessarily maybe where they need to begin, because it's not where they want to begin. Just like with patients, right? There's things that you can see that they need, but is that always what they want? Are they prepared to want that at this point? Can you help them see the want, not just the need? And so I think that's true for something even like reclarifying a purposeful vision. So for some people, we'll start with something more concrete, and that often revolves around where are their people problems in their business. So the other part of people plus purpose, and that's an easier grasp for many people. And it's usually not me as the leader that is being seen as the challenge. It's more, I've got an office manager say that if people will say, if you could just fix them for me, then we have to decide, kind of get clear on what fixing them means. And then maybe that leads into, well, there were four or five other office managers prior to that. And then sometimes the leader will say, or do you think some of this might be because of me? Like I could be part of the problem. And that's sometimes where we'll have a first dawning awareness that, yes, back to the visionary leader again, that doesn't mean it's all on you, but you are the one who's beginning. You are the one who's hopefully guiding this journey. And people are looking at you to see where are we going?
They are. When you go in and evaluate an office and you do assessments with people, I know that you have been heavily involved in the creation of assessment guides and whatever. You can tell a culture. It's like the air. You can tell whether it's clear, a clean air, or whether it's cloudy, musty, and dirty. That's the way you can tell it with a culture. You know, we can walk into a place and without hearing a lot and whatever, you can sense it. When you go into an office and say, man, this culture has got to change, it's got to clean up. How do you go about that?
While the cultural tone is set to a great degree by that key leader that we're talking about, I think it comes back to what is it going to take to engage that team. I like Gallup's kind of discovery relative to team engagement, individual engagement even. And they did a large-scale study called The State of the Global Workplace. So looking across all different industries, and decided, came to the conclusion that about 70% of workers are not engaged in the work that they're doing each day. And I find that many doctors are not really fully engaged either. And it's their business that they need something to happen, but it does not automatically cause them to be engaged at the highest level. But so that lack of full engagement tends to lead to more self-focus rather than a team focus. It leads to more struggles in communication or conflict resolution. So there's a number of secondary elements, but Gallup talks about, like, what's the solution for that? And they came up with three different elements for increasing engagement. And one of those was having a strengths-based workplace. So with my assessments, my strengths-based assessments, we're looking at helping team members be seen. Team members want to be seen and appreciated. They want to be seen for their uniqueness, just like a patient would want to be seen for their uniqueness. They're not the last patient, they're this patient. Whatever you did with that patient is not necessarily what this patient needs or wants. So who are these team members, and do we see them in their uniqueness? Do we spot their genius? Do we give them the microphone to express their genius? Or are we simply having task expectations, whether they're realistic expectations? Does that person own those strengths or not? But to truly build a strengths-based workplace, and then secondarily to have a more purpose-driven rather than paycheck-driven mission. Yes, people are talking about money and a few dollars more, and especially right now since COVID, want to be paid more if I'm going to be doing these things. Fair enough. That's probably right and true so much of the time. Ultimately, that's not where the fulfillment is going to come, is a couple of dollars more an hour. So tapping into that, where are their sources of inspiration? What's really going to excite them and bring them to want to engage? And then the third thing is an environment of ongoing growth and development. Are there opportunities for me here to learn more, to master more, to grow personally beyond just whatever my next business steps are, my next craft, developing my craft a bit more? Can I grow more as a person here? Is somebody invested in me? In larger organizations, there's sometimes people for that who have designated roles for development of people. In small business, like a dental practice, that's rarely the case. So often there's no one responsible for overseeing that, let alone how are we personalizing it? Is it one size fits all for everyone? Or if we know the strengths of people, can we tailor our growth and development, and somebody's actually having ongoing coaching conversations with those people? So a lot of these things, I think, are things that can bring alive team members. That tends to have, that tends to lift the leader more. And then also the leader engaging in these things tends to lift the team. You know, where is the greatest opportunity, I guess, becomes the question for me sometimes, to begin to elevate. And if we can elevate in some way, it tends to spill over and bring elevation in other areas. Yeah.
So basically, what you're saying is that it really does start with the leader, and the leader of the practice having a clear vision, being able to articulate that and share that vision with the team and invite feedback and maybe some integration and a little bit of redefinement based upon input that will help create value with them and like they are important. But then also, it's critical for the doctor and the hiring people to hire individuals that have strength, character, purpose, a little drive to them, rather than just putting anybody into the position and hoping it works. So this is an absolute creation based, a purposeful creation, trying to get a purposeful outcome. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, no, I think that was good. And I think that all too often we're stepping past team with a primary focus on patients. I think that's a mistake. I think that the more you can prioritize the team first, engage the team first, build, develop them, create an on-fire army of people, then the patients are going to win at a higher level. We're going to serve people better because we're all together. We're going to move that ball down the field and get into the end zone because we're going to do that together. This is not an individual sport. Who do we put on that team? That comes back to that intentional, not just intuitive, strengths-based consideration. Good fit for the role. What are our expectations for that role? How can we clarify if somebody has the behavioral, the cognitive, the inspirational, the emotional strengths for that role? But how are they going to fit as a team? Does it bring something unique to the team? Where are, might there be collisions? Where are there greater opportunities because they were invited to be a part of this? So I think it's a people first, team first perspective, and then an intentionality that goes beyond just kind of the person has some experience and they're breathing and they were the one I could find. And if that's the best you've got, then let's make sure that we do everything we can after you hire them to make this the most amazing opportunity they would never leave.
I like that. A lot of the dentists in the dental industry hire people, but then they don't really coach them up. And sometimes those employers are just saying, please coach me up. Please coach. I have the energy. I have the enthusiasm. I want to be a part of this team. I want to be valuable, but coach me up. And I like what your analogy of the team players, you know, the quarterback, you've got to build around that quarterback. You have to have a great, great offensive line, but then also you have to have great receivers. If you have just great receivers, no offensive line, there's no time for the quarterback to pass to the receivers. If the offensive line is just tremendous, they're all pro linemen, but your wide receivers can't catch a ball, you're not going to move the ball down the field.
We're probably talking to the men in this analogy.
Sorry.
Primarily, however, but just to say one comment on that, and then we can shift to something maybe the women would understand more, but or care about more, maybe it's better not understand, but is that when you see a team that wins, when they're winning, and at the end, they won, those linemen, they were willing to lay down their lives to protect that quarterback, and they love that quarterback. And that, I think, is a good illustration of what teams will often do for the sake of a leader that they believe truly sees them, values them, they would do anything for them.
I'm glad you added that, because that is important to understand and appreciate, and the leader recognized that the team will support you in a way that you really never realized or expected and anticipated. And once you get that, the synergistic effect moving, it's an unstoppable motion, Matthew, and it's a great thing, because that's when you start loving going to the office. The stress goes down, the frustration goes down. The concept of time wealth is that when you're able to slow down, to speed up, you end up doing larger cases, more quadrant dentistry. Your time is more flexible, your schedule is easier, and life is good. But it's only as good as your team will help you make it. One last thing that you would like to share with the audience, Matthew, here, that really kind of sums up who you are, what you are about, and how you can help the audience.
Well, I think that to me, I think that we don't see people as accurately as we imagine that we do. People want to be seen. People's best contributions come out when they are seen and recognized for those, their potential. Where are those strengths that they could bring, be invited to bring? So whether we're hiring people, whether we're developing people, I think we need more data. And we're talking to an audience of people who like science, value science and data. And I think we can bring more data to the human element and not just say that's a soft science, it's a human science, but we can gather data. And that's where I see assessments coming in so we can personalize. So we can really see who the people are. And that begins with assessments on ourselves to see who am I first, and then who are these people, and then how are we going to optimize this as a team fit. So to me, we have the ability to peer behind the curtain. We have the ability to make more intentional, informed decisions in that area. And when we can do that, I think that's often the solution that we're missing. That's something that certainly I'd like to offer, you know, and would offer to any of your viewers if they're interested in checking out a sample of my Core 4 assessments, I would be happy to share that with anyone who wants to reach out and say that they heard our conversation. I think having that experience can make a difference. I think it's the beginning of changing, improving a leader and changing a culture.
I appreciate you making that offer, Matthew. We'll put all of your contact information at the end of the show notes today. And hopefully the audience will have been moved by our conversation here and they'll be curious, discovering more about themselves. And you said something there a minute ago that you are a great example of, is that we often really don't know the person accurately often, and we can see them in a different light. And as you shared your story up front about your first wife passing away, when you said that, I immediately started seeing and I felt different about you as a person. You know, this is only our second conversation that we've had with each other. The last one was as equally as good as this one here today. But I did. I started seeing you in a different light. I started seeing you as a stronger person. Not that I saw you as weak by any means, but I saw you, thought, wow, for Matthew to go through this, incredible strength, incredible personal dedication to pick up your feet and just keep moving forward with your life. Kudos to you on that. I again, as you could tell, I was really taken back by your story. And I really appreciate that. It's kind of the essence and the foundation of your business and who you are today. And, you know, the compassionate nature that you have with people and wanting them to succeed really comes from a deep inner core fiber from the experiences of your life. And that's pretty
impressive. Thank you for recognizing and saying that. Thank you.
That's impressive to me. Very impressive. I do encourage the audience, please make connection with Matthew. I really do believe, done a little stalking on you, Matthew, on LinkedIn and all the information I could find out about you. It is interesting, though, I am going to be giving a speech the 1st of May, and I was thinking about an analogy that people could relate with, and it was the yellow brick road. And in researching and looked at you, I see that you make a correlation with the yellow brick road. I'm going to leave it at that with the yellow brick road. I want them to be curious and go to your LinkedIn account and find out about your yellow brick road analogy. So there you are, audience. Be curious and go find out. Matthew, thank you for today. It's been good. It's been rich.
Thank you, John. Appreciate the opportunity to share, and I have valued my time with you today.
You bet. It's been a great time. I thank you very much. Audience, I appreciate you being with us today. It was a real pleasure listening to Matthew's story. There's a lot there to be gleaned from it. Please make connection with him. I would love to see what a strong connection with you and Matthew can do for your practice and your personal life moving forward. So again, appreciate you being with us. That is the end of our podcast for today.